This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
We discussed then last time the concept of the tzaddik having to pay for what little averus he's done in Olam Hazeh, and the Rosh Hashanah having to be rewarded for what mitzvahs he's done also in Olam Hazeh, which is one of the approaches to the whole question of tzaddikim suffering and Roshoim having it apparently good. And I told you about the Rebbitzin of the Peterburger, that's the payment of the Rosho in Olam Hazeh is in fact a chesed to the Rosho, because he doesn't want to be paid in Olam Habo. Imagine a Rosho whose all his life is he values material things, and then he comes and then he says, now he wants schar, he gave tzedakah, he did various mitzvahs, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you want schar? Good, I'll tell you what, when you go to Olam HaEmes, we'll allow you to sit into the shir of Rabbi Akiva Eger, that will be your schar for all your tzedakah. He's not going to accept that. He wants something tangible. So it's in fact a chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam repays him in the currency which he can appreciate, which is Olam Hazeh. And it's a chesed that the tzaddik, imagine for the tzaddik, if there are averus that he's done, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would say, because of those few averus you're going to have to pay for it spiritually, that would be something which would cause him undue pain. He's much happier to pay for it materially and to be released with no difficulty and listen to the spiritual world. So paragraph Dalet, Sif Dalet. And the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed further to increase hatzlocha for people. She matzei oid min tziruf acher lemishi yitochin boi hatziruf, that there is another kind of synthesis of situations where that exists. The haynu lemishi govar boi horatik boiris gedoylo, and as a person where evil has become a major part of his life. Ach lo kol kach sheyeh mishpatoi la'avido legamri, but not so bad that his mishpat is to destroy him altogether. Vuhu klal oinshim, and that is the general category of punishment. So this is now a person who doesn't deserve to be lost to Olam Habo, but there's a great deal of spiritual punishment he needs to go through. So there is a klal oinshim, there is a category of oinesh. Shehayoser roshum bohem hu hadin begehenem, that the most impressive, so to say, of those punishments is din in Gehenna. V'hakavono boi hu lahanish hachoyte kefi chatov, and the intention of Gehenna is to punish the sinner according to his sins. Ba'oifen sha'acharei he'anshoi, in such a way that after his punishment, lo yiyye oid choyv olov alamay sehorashi oso, there will be no indebtedness on his part for that evil which he had perpetrated, which he had done. The yuchel acharechen lekabel hagmul ha'amisi kefish ar masim ha'toivim, and that leaves him free to receive the reward for the good deeds that he's done without any negative indebtedness that might remain because of the bad deeds that he'd done. So that too is a chesed, that the Ribbono Shel Olam cleanses him of any indebtedness, so that when he is rewarded, he can be rewarded as a tzaddik. And it comes out as a result of this, those who really become destroyed, whose neshomas are totally destroyed, is a relatively small number of people. Because that will only be those people who are so immersed in ra, she efsha she imotzelo hemokum b'shum ponim liyus nishorim bigmula amisivano anitzchis, that they have deprived themselves of any possibility of being able to take part in true and permanent pleasure and fulfillment. Those people who have destroyed their neshomas to such a degree are the ones who are destroyed. But everybody else, at worst, goes through the Gehenim stage, which cleanses him and puts him into a situation where after he is able to take advantage of the schar. So it comes out that the din is divided into three sections. The main purpose is for the world after Tchiyas HaNesim, not even what we call Olam Habo, which is not the correct phrase. Really, Olam Habo means the world as it will be after Tchiyas HaNesim. That's Olam Habo. The world in between is what we call Olam HaEmes. So the time for true Gemul is after Tchiyas HaNesim, when that society will be structured, which will be rid of all the rough edges and all the negatives. But deeds which need to be rewarded or responded to before then, some maisim have to be responded to in this world, and some in the Olam HaNeshomes, which is the Olam HaEmes.
The world as it was at the time of the creation, is that what will be?
That will be like the Olam after Tchiyas HaNesim.
So what will stop the mistake of Adam HaRishon again?
He comes onto that.
Because that's obviously a problem. I mean, you're going to get everybody into the stage where they're now receiving without.
He comes onto that. I think my father gave a shiur on that when he was here. Along the line of the one difference that there will be is that mankind will have gone through that once before. Adam didn't have the experience. Mankind had never gone through that.
He was supposed to do one thing or not do one thing.
Yes, but he hadn't had the experience of having done the negative. Mankind will learn from its mistakes, hopefully. So we'll be in that same situation with thousands of years of having suffered the consequence of doing it wrong.
But yet, all the way through, there were junctures in history where Am Yisrael had the opportunity to turn the thing around and still didn't.
Right.
So what's...
Because there was an Erev Rav around, there were always the negative people around. This society will be a society in which there are no negative people. Everybody there will be perfect. Achin mishpatei hadin hazeh bifrotov einam noidoyim. The details of this justice we don't know. Kim l'shoifet ha'amisi levadoi. Only the true judge, only the Ribono Shel'Olam knows the details of how all these things are going to be weighed up. He's the one who knows the details of these maisim, all their aspects and particulars. And he knows which will be responded to at one way in a particular, at one time in a particular way, and which at another time and in another way. All that we know, who rak klal darche hanhoga, are the principles of the hanhoga hazois. Al mahim yuseres, what it's based on. Val mahi soveres, and around what it revolves. Vuhu mashi biyanu shitachis kol ha'inyan, and this is what we've established, that the purpose of the whole inyan, hu lekabetz kibbutz shleimim, is to create a gathering, a society of perfect people. Shiyuyu ruuyim lihikovol anetzach bihistabkuso yisborach, who will be fit to be attached permanently to the Ribono Shel Olam, to cleavage to the Ribono Shel Olam, yuchadesh inyan ze yishtalem keroi, and in order that this thing should come to true perfection, hutzruchu ha'inyonim ha'kodmim ha'ele kulam, all these other requirements are needed that we've discussed, olam hazeh and olam ha'emes and reward and punishment and so on, la'achin u'la'hazmin ha'inyan hazeh ha'tachlisi, in order to prepare and set the path for this ultimate tachlis. But the tachlis is the creation of a society of people who are tzaddikim, of people who have been cleansed, of people who are pure. The chumash is a charna. Let's just do the next paragraph as well. And if you look carefully at this concept, but apart from this thing being a natural consequence of principles of justice and law, it's also part of the essence of the creation. That is because we've already established good deeds create an energy in the human being, both in his body and his soul, a reality of perfection and elevation. So there's an impact on the human being, both a spiritual and a physical impact of the maisim that he's done, of the actions that he's done. The hofchom, and on the converse, hamaisim haroim matzimim boi matzius achirus v'chisorin. A bad deed puts in a certain energy into him of murkiness and inadequacy and lack. V'hakol b'shir medukta k'fi ma she'em hamaisim, and everything is in perfect. Perfect measure according to the deed that was performed. Lo pochus v'lo yuse, not less, not more. B'nei ha'isha tzadik shehirba be'atzmo yishir godol min hazoya v'hamaylo. So what is a tzadik? A tzadik is a person who has excelled in this measure of elevation and energy. Ach mitzad achir, but on the other hand, mipnei miut maisim roim she'oso, because there are a few bad deeds that he did. There's mixed up in him a little bit of darkness and murkiness. As long as he's got this mixture, he's not fit for ultimate cleaving to the Ribbono Shel Olam Yisbarach. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed that there should be a purification form. That is Yisurin. Some is Barak Shemoy Biskulosom, where the Ribbono Shel Olam implanted in the powers and the effect of Yisurim, of suffering, Lahasir Ma'isu Ha'odom Ha'achirusahi, to remove that murkiness, to remove that rough edge. That's what Yisurim does, it refines. The Yishoy Zach Uvohir Muchan Latoivo Bizman Haroi, leaving the person pure and clear, ready for goodness at the right time. Depending on the degree of murkiness resulting from his various actions, that will determine the degree of Yisurim he needs to purify himself. And it can happen that physical suffering will not be sufficient to cleanse him of that imperfection, that he needs spiritual suffering as well. If shall the seichel hodom laakif al kulam, and the klal, the generality breaks down into millions of details, it's impossible for the human intellect to grasp them all, other than the principles which he's laying down. All this is the background material that he's going to need for later on, when he comes to really understanding the human condition in the world, and the mitzvahs, and how we use the mitzvahs, and what the mitzvahs are used for, and how each mitzvah operates in a different aspect of our being. All this is the background material that one needs in order to place the halacha in its, so to say, Kabbalistic context. This difference between Yisurim Gufonim and Yisurim Nafshim is a very important one, that there is suffering which can be limited to physical suffering, which is the easier thing, because it doesn't distract one from one's progress. It's discomfort. It can be terrible discomfort, but at the end of the day, it's only discomfort. That's physical yisurim, is just a degree of discomfort, starting from very minor discomfort to very major discomfort. But it's only discomfort. Spiritual yisurim is something, and spiritual yisurim actually inhibits one's growth. That's something that is far more serious. And the human being has the ability. Sometimes it's not within his. Capabilities that Yisurim become spiritual whether or not he wants it, but often the human being has within his own ability to determine whether he will allow discomfort to become spiritual Yisurim. We actually have to set the limits on Yisurim as well. We have a certain control over our Yisurim. So when we're suffering, there are people who every time they have a discomfort, they allow that to create spiritual suffering and pain in several ways. The one way is they allow it to affect their thinking. You have people who, when they're not feeling 100% well, become negative and become miserable and they're unproductive. And I've often quoted Winston Churchill's statement that most of the things in the world have been achieved by people who are not feeling all that well most of the time. If people expect to be productive only when things are going okay, when they're feeling on top of things, those aren't the people that get anywhere. It's the people who realize that one doesn't always feel on top of it. Sometimes one's tired, sometimes one's not well. There are all sorts of reasons that there can be, but that doesn't get in the way of being productive. So the one area is one that one allows discomfort to become more than discomfort. And the other is that one allows it to encroach on one's sidurim, which is an area of allowing a physical discomfort to become a spiritual problem. And one has to be able to impose limits on one's yusurim. Fine, okay, so there's yusurim, so there's discomfort, but it's not going to disturb my seder. That it won't do. To allow it to become a spiritual discomfort, that I'm not prepared to do. The sidurim have to carry on. And that way one can actually limit the area of operation that discomfort takes place. And we have to be sensitive to discomfort. The fact that we have to earn a living is already yusurim. The fact that we little things are already yusurim. And if we'll find them yusurim, if we'll notice that they're yusurim, that already counts for a lot. But Rebbe Shlomo doesn't have to keep on turning the screws. As we've said, the Gemara says, if you put in your pocket to take out a 5-cent coin and you take out a 10-cent coin by mistake, and now with the two coins it can become more serious, 2 rand instead of a 10-cent, or vice versa.
Good if you take a 5-cent, because they say the 5-cent fits in the meter instead of a 10-cent.
That in itself is yusurim. So if you don't realize that that's yusurim, then the Rebbe Shlomo has to turn on harder yusurim. The robot's red instead of green, that's yusurim. You have to drive around the block once before you find a parking space, that's yusurim. You try somebody's number and it's engaged, that's yusurim. If one's aware that these are yusurim, then one can stop it also. But if one regards this just as normal, the Rebbe Shlomo has to keep on turning tighter and tighter. When is this guy going to realize that I'm giving him a message, that there's something wrong, that things aren't right? The moment one realizes, it really starts helping. It's the realization of yusurim and the limitation. The fact that you put your hand into your pocket to take out a 5-cent coin and you took out a 10-cent coin is not reason to get into depression, nor is it reason to miss a shiur. But you can have people who will do that. Ah, look what a tragedy. Oh, what a thing. They got a 5-cent coin instead of a 10-cent coin. They're not at the shiur today. Oynes, what happened? Oynes. They couldn't help it. They wanted a 5-cent coin and it was a 10-cent coin. So what? No, but that put him behind and the whole thing over there, and he's got already an answer why he's not at the shiur. You see it? Some people, it's not little yusurim like that. It's much more serious yusurim. They have to look for a parking spot, or they got an engaged number. That becomes, some people, it's not that unserious. It's more serious. They had a crisis at the office, couldn't get out in time. They had a meeting. Each one finds the level, but at the end of the day, they're all just discomforts. And if one's going to allow discomforts to encroach on the learning, then the sotan has a field day. Then the sotan says to the Rebbeinu Shlom, I found the method with this guy. We don't even have to work terribly hard. All we have to do, little discomforts, just have to time them right. And that will destroy his Olam Haba. And he won't even notice. He's going to think everything's going fine. He's going to think he's a tzaddik, because he's going to think he's an onus. He's going to think it's by force of circumstances. And he doesn't realize that it isn't by force of circumstances. And then the sultan has a field day. And there's not much that Ribbono Shel Olam does to stop the sultan under those circumstances. You're right. It doesn't seem to bother him. The yusurim don't seem to bother him. It doesn't matter. He's so willing to accept a state of onus that it doesn't seem to bother him. The Rebbe Shlomo leaves it alone. We have to fight against yusurim. We don't accept yusurim. We have to fight against yusurim through tshuva, through actually modifying our lifestyle, and through setting limits as to how far we're going to allow the yusurim to disturb us. If we've set our limits, this is where it is, and that's it. That's it. It can disturb our ulam hazeh, but not our ulam habo. Just as we would rather have yusurim here than in ulam habo, because we want our ulam habo to stay intact, so we must be willing to take our yusurim in our material areas, but not to allow them to encroach in our ruchnistic areas. Once we allow that, then we're confusing our ulam hazeh with our ulam habo, and then we're in very serious trouble.